Look at all these fake flowers and garlands. Good stuff. I stopped. Should we get some? They might look good on the porch. I grabbed a bunch of sunflowers and added a few white roses to the bunch. This looks kind of nice, right?
I was kidding, she said, sucking in her cheeks. I could tell she was trying not to smile. But yeah, that looks all right. Not great, but all right.
I put the flowers back. All right, I give up. From now on, I'll just do the heavy lifting.
Nice effort, though.
Back at the house, Jeremiah's car was in the driveway. Jer and I can unload all of this later, I said, turning off the ignition.
I'll help, she offered, hopping out of the car. I'm just gonna say hi first.
I grabbed a couple of the heavier bags and followed her up the steps and into the house. Jeremiah was lying on the couch watching TV. When he saw us, he sat up. Where have you guys been? He asked. He said it casually, but his eyes flickered at me as he spoke.
At Michael's, Belly said. What time did you get here?
A little while ago. Why didn't you wait for me? I told you I'd be here in time. Jeremiah got up and crossed the room. He pulled Belly toward him for a hug.
I told you, Michael's closes at 9. I doubt you would have made it in time, she said,
and she sounded pissed. But she let him kiss her. I turned away. I'm gonna go unload the car. Wait, I'll help. Jeremiah released Belly and slapped his hand on my back. Con, thanks for pinch hitting for me today. No problem.
It's after 8, Belly said. I'm starving. Let's all go to Jimmy's for dinner.
I shook my head. Nah, I'm not hungry. You guys go.
But you didn't have any dinner, Belly said, frowning. Just come with us.
No, thanks, I said. She started to protest again, but Jer said, Bells, he doesn't want to. Let's just go.
Are you sure? She asked me.
I'm good, I said. And it came out harsher than I meant it. I guessed it worked, though. Because they left.
Chapter 34. At Jimmy's, neither of us ordered crabs. I got fried scallops and iced tea, and Jeremiah got a lobster roll and beer. The server asked for his ID and smirked when he saw it, but he still served him a beer. I shook a few sugar packets into my iced tea, tasted it, then added two more.
I'm wiped,
Jeremiah said, leaning back into the booth and closing his eyes. Well, wake up. We have work to do. He opened his eyes.
Like what?
What do you mean, like what? Tons of stuff. At David's bridal, they were asking me all these questions. Like, what's our color palette? And are you going to wear a suit or a tuxedo? Jeremiah snorted.
A tuxedo? On the beach? I probably won't even wear shoes.
Well, yeah, I know, but you should probably figure out what you're going to wear.
I don't know. You tell me. I'll wear whatever you and Taylor want me to wear. It's your guys' day, right?
Ha ha, I said. Very funny. It wasn't like I really cared what he wore. I just wanted him to figure it out and let me know so I could check it off my list.
Drumming his fingers on the table, he said, I was thinking white shirts and khaki shorts. Nice and simple, like we said.
Okay.
Jeremiah gulped his beer. Hey, can we dance to You Never Can Tell at the reception?
I don't know that song, I said.
Sure you do. It's from my favorite movie. Hint, we had the soundtrack on repeat in our frat house media room all semester.
When I still stared at him blankly, Jeremiah sang.
It was a teenage wedding and the old folks wished them well.
Oh, yeah, Pulp Fiction.
So can we?
Are you serious?
Come on, Bells. Be a sport. We can put it on YouTube. I'll bet we'll get a shit ton of hits. It'll be funny.
I gave him a look. Funny. You want our wedding to be funny.
Come on. You're making all the decisions, and all I want is this one thing,
he said, pouting. And I couldn't tell if he was serious or not. Either way, it pissed me off. Plus, I was so pissed he hadn't made it in time to help me at Michael's.
The server came by with our food, and Jeremiah dug right into his lobster roll.
What other decisions have I made? I asked him.
You decided that the cake was going to be carrot. he reminded me, mayonnaise dripping down his chin. I like chocolate cake. I don't want to be the one making all the decisions. I don't even know what I'm doing.
Then I'll help more. Just tell me what to do. Hey, I've got an idea. What if the wedding was Tarantino-themed? He said.
Yeah, what if? I said sourly. I stabbed a scallop with my fork.
You could be the bride, like in Kill Bill.
He looked up from his plate.
Kidding, kidding. But this whole thing is still going to be pretty chill, right? We said we just wanted it to be casual.
Yeah, but people still need to, like, eat.
Don't worry about the food and stuff. My dad will hire somebody to take care of all that.
I could feel irritation start to prickle beneath my skin like a heat rash. I let out a short breath. It's easy for you to say don't worry. You're not the one planning our wedding. Jeremiah put down his sandwich and sat up straight.
I told you I'd help. And like I said, my dad will take care of a lot of it.
I don't want him to, I said. I want us to do it together. And joking about Quentin Tarantino movies doesn't really count as helping.
It's Quentin,
Jeremiah corrected. I shot him a dirty look.
I wasn't joking about the first dance, he said. I still think it would be cool. And Bells, I have been doing stuff. I figured out what to do for music. My buddy Pete DJs on the weekends. He said he'd bring his speakers and just hook up his iPod and take care of the whole thing. He already has the Pulp Fiction soundtrack, by the way.
Jeremiah raised his eyebrows at me comically. I knew he was waiting for a laugh, or at least a smile. And I was about to give in, just so this fight could be over and I could eat my scallops without feeling angry, when he said innocently,
Oh, wait, did you want to check with Taylor first? See if she'd be okay with it?
I glared at him. He needed to quit with the jokes and start acting a lot more appreciative, because Taylor was the one who was actually helping, unlike him. I don't need to check with her on this. It's a dumb idea, and it's not happening. Jeremiah whistled under his breath.
All righty, Bridezilla.
I'm not a Bridezilla. I don't even want to do any of this. You do it. He stared at me.
What do you mean you don't want to do any of this?
My heart was beating really fast all of a sudden. I mean the planning. I don't want to do any of this stupid planning. Not the actual getting married part. I still want to do that.
Good. Me too.
He reached across the table, plucked a scallop off my plate, and plopped it into his mouth. I stuffed the last scallop into my mouth before he could take that too. Then I grabbed a bunch of fries off of his plate, even though I had fries of my own.
Hey, he said with a frown, you've got your own fries.
Yours are crispier, I said. But really it was more out of spite. I wondered, the rest of our lives, was Jeremiah going to try and eat my last scallop or my last bite of steak? I liked finishing all the food on my plate. I wasn't one of those girls who left a few bites behind just to be polite. I had a fry in my mouth when Jeremiah asked, Has Laurel called at all? I swallowed. Suddenly, I wasn't so hungry anymore. No.
She must have gotten the invite by now.
Yeah.
Well, hopefully she'll call this week,
Jer said, stuffing the rest of his lobster roll into his mouth.
I mean, I'm sure she will.
Hopefully, I said. I sipped on my iced tea and added, Our first dance can be You Never Can Tell, if you really want. Jer pumped his fist in the air.
See? That's why I'm marrying you.
A smile creeped across my face. Because I'm generous?
Because you're very generous. And you get me.
He said, taking back a few of his fries. When we got back to the house, Conrad's car was gone. Chapter 35. Conrad.
I would rather have had someone shoot me in the head with a nail gun, repeatedly, than have to watch the two of them cuddling on the couch together all night. After they went to dinner, I got in my car and drove to Boston. As I drove, I thought about not going back to Cousins. Screw it. It would be easier that way. Halfway home, I made up my mind that, yeah, that would be for the best. An hour from home, I decided, screw them. I had as much right to be there as they did. I still needed to clean out the gutters, and I was pretty sure I'd seen a wasp nest in the drainpipe. There was all kinds of stuff I needed to take care of. I couldn't just not go back. Around midnight, I was sitting at the kitchen table in my boxer shorts eating cereal when my dad walked in, still wearing his work suit. I didn't even know he was home. He didn't look surprised to see me.
"Con, can I talk to you for a minute?" he asked.
"Yeah?" He sat down across from me with his glass of bourbon. In the dim light of the kitchen, my father looked like an old man. His hair was thinning on top, and he'd lost weight, too much weight. When did he get so old? In my mind, he was always 37. My dad cleared his throat.
"What do you think I should do about this thing with Jeremiah? I mean, is he really set on it?"
"Yeah, I think he is."
"Laurel's really torn up about it. She's tried everything, but the kids aren't listening. Belly ran off, and now they aren't even talking to each other. You know how Laurel can get."
This was all news to me. I didn't know they weren't speaking to each other. My dad sipped from his glass.
"Do you think there's anything I can do to put an end to it?"
For once, I actually agreed with my dad. My feelings for Belly aside, I thought getting married at 19 was dumb. What was the point? What were they trying to prove?
"You could cut Jer off," I said,
and then I felt like a dick for suggesting it. I added, "But even if you did, he still has the money Mom left him."
"Most of it's in a trust."
"He's determined. He'll do it either way." I hesitated, then added, "Besides, if you pulled something like that, he'd never forgive you." My dad got up and poured himself some more bourbon. He sipped it before he said,
"I don't want to lose him the way I lost you."
I didn't know what to say. So we sat there in silence. And right when I finally opened my mouth to say, "You haven't lost me," he stood up. Sighing heavily, he emptied his glass.
"Good night, son."
"Good night, Dad." I watched my father trudge up the stairs, each step heavier than the last, like Atlas, with the world on his shoulders. He'd never had to deal with this kind of thing before. He'd never had to be that kind of father. My mom was always there to take care of the hard stuff. Now that she was gone, he was all we had left. And it wasn't enough. I had always been the favorite. I was our father's Jacob, and Jeremiah was Esau. It wasn't something I'd ever questioned. I'd always assumed it was because I was the firstborn that I came first with my dad. I just accepted it, and so did Jer. But as we got older, I saw that that wasn't it. It was that he saw himself in me. To our father, I was just a reflection of him. He thought we were so alike. Jer was like our mom, I was like our dad. So I was the one he put all the pressure on. I was the one he funneled all his energy and hope into. Football, school, all of it. I worked hard to meet those expectations, to be just like him. The first time I realized my father wasn't perfect was when he forgot my mom's birthday. He'd been golfing all day with his friends, and he came home late. Jer and I had made a cake and bought flowers and a card. We had everything set up on the dining room table. My dad had had a few beers. I could smell it on him when he hugged me. He said, "Oh, shit, I forgot. Boys, can I put my name on the card?" I was a freshman in high school. Late, I know, to figure out your dad isn't a hero. That was just the first time I remember being disappointed by something he did. After that, I found more and more reasons to be disappointed. All of that love and pride I had in him, it turned to hate. And then I started to hate myself, who he'd made. Because I saw it too, how alike we were. That scared me. I didn't want to be the kind of man who cheated on his wife. I didn't want to be the kind of man who put work,
before his family, who tipped cheaply at restaurants, who never bothered to learn our housekeeper's name. From there on, I set out to destroy the picture of me he had in his head. I quit our morning runs before he left for work. I quit the fishing trips, the golf, which I'd never liked anyway. And I quit football, which I loved. He'd gone to all my games, videotaping them so we could watch later, and he could point out the places where I'd messed up. Every time there was an article about me in the newspaper, he framed it and hung it in his study. I quit it all, despite him. Anything that made him proud of me, I took away. It took me a long time to figure it out. That I was the one who had put my dad on that pedestal. I did that. Not him. And then I despised him for not being perfect. For being human. I drove back to Cousins on Monday morning.
Chapter 36. On Monday afternoon, Conrad and I were eating outside on the deck. He had grilled chicken and corn for lunch. He hadn't been kidding when he said all he ever ate was grilled chicken. "Did Jer tell you what he wants you and Stephen to wear for the wedding?" I asked him. Conrad shook his head, looking confused.
"I thought guys just wore suits for weddings."
"Well, yeah, but you guys are his best men, so you're all dressing alike. Khaki shorts and white linen button-down shirts." "He didn't tell you?"
"This is the first I'm hearing about linen shirts. Or being a best man."
I rolled my eyes. "Jeremiah needs to get on the ball. Of course you're his best man. You and Stephen both are."
"How can there be two best men? Best implies only one."
Biting into his corn on the cob, he said,
"Let Stephen be it, I don't care."
"No, you're Jeremiah's brother. You have to be his best man." My phone rang as I was explaining to him what being the best man entailed. I didn't recognize the number, but since the wedding planning had gotten underway, I'd been getting a lot of those. "Is this Isabel?" I didn't recognize the voice. She sounded older, like someone my mother's age. Whoever she was, she had a thick Boston accent. I said, "This is she. I mean, her. My name is Denise Coletti. I'm calling from Adam Fish's office." "Oh, hello, it's nice to meet you. Yes, hello. I just need you to okay a few things for your wedding. I've selected a catering service called Elegantly Yours. They do events around the area. They're doing this very last minute for us. This caterer books months in advance for parties. Is this all right with you?" Faintly, I said, "Sure." Conrad looked at me quizzically, and I mouthed, "Denise Coletti." His eyes widened, and he gestured for me to give him the phone. I waved his hand away. Then Denise Coletti said, "Now, how many people are you expecting?" 20, if everyone can come. Adam told me more like 40. I'll check with him." I could hear her typing. "So, probably 4 to 5 appetizers a person. Do we want a vegetarian option for the meal?" "I don't think Jeremiah and I have any vegetarian friends." "All right. Are you going to want to go and do a tasting? I think you probably should." Okay. "Wonderful. I'll book you for next week then. Now, for seating arrangements, do you want 2 or 3 long tables or 5 round tables?" I hadn't even thought of tables. And what was she talking about, 40? I was wishing I had Taylor next to me to tell me what to do. "Can I get back to you on that?" Denise let out a little sigh, and I knew I had said the wrong thing. "Sure, but be as quick as you can so I can give them the go-ahead. That's all for now. I'll be touching base with you again later this week. Oh, and congratulations." "Thank you very much, Denise." Next to me, Conrad called out, "Hi, Denise." She said, "Is that Connie? Tell him hello from me." "Denise says hello," I told him. Then she said, "Mazel tov," and we hung up.
"What's going on?"
Conrad asked me. He had corn kernels stuck on his cheek.
"Why is Denise calling you?"
I put my phone down and said, apparently your dad's secretary is our wedding planner now, and we're inviting 40 people instead of 20. Blandly, he said,
"That's good news."
"How is that good news?"
"It means my dad is okay with you guys getting married. And he's paying for it."
Conrad started to cut his chicken.
"Huh. Wow."
I stood up.
I'd better call Jer. Wait, it's the middle of the day. He's still at work. I sat back down. I probably should have felt relieved that someone else was taking over, but instead I just felt overwhelmed. This wedding was getting a lot bigger than I had imagined it. Now we were renting tables? It was all too much. Too sudden. Across from me, Conrad was buttering another ear of corn. I looked down at my plate. I wasn't hungry anymore. I felt sick to my stomach.
Eat,
Conrad said. I took a small bite of chicken. I wouldn't get to talk to Jeremiah until later that evening. But the person I really wanted to talk to was my mother. She would have known how to configure the tables and where to seat everyone. Denise wasn't the one I wanted to swoop in and tell me what to do, and not Mr. Fisher either, or even Susanna. I only wanted my mother. Chapter 37 Conrad.
It didn't really hit me how hard of a time Belly was having until I heard her on the phone with Taylor later that week. She had her door open, and I was brushing my teeth in the hall bathroom. I heard her say,
Taylor, I really appreciate what your mom is trying to do, but I promise you, it's okay. I know, but it would just feel too weird with all the adults from the neighborhood at my wedding shower and then my mom not being there.
I heard her sigh and say,
Yeah, I know. Okay. Tell your mom thanks.
She closed her door then, and I was pretty sure I heard her start to cry. I went to my room, lay down on my bed, and stared up at the ceiling. Billy hadn't let on to me how sad she was about her mom. She was an upbeat kind of person, naturally cheerful, like Jer. If there was a bright side, Belly would find it. Hearing her cry, it shook me up. I knew I should stay out of it. That was the smart thing to do. She didn't need me looking out for her. She was a big girl. Besides, what could I do for her? I was definitely staying out of it. The next morning, I got up early to see Laurel. It was still dark out when I left. I called her on the way and asked if she could meet for breakfast. Laurel was surprised, but she didn't ask questions. She said she'd meet me at a diner off the highway. I guess Laurel had always been special to me. Ever since I was a kid, I just liked being near her. I liked the way you could be quiet around her and with her. She didn't talk down to kids. She treated us like equals. After my mom died and I transferred to Stanford, I started calling Laurel every once in a while. I still liked talking to her, and I liked that she reminded me of my mom without it hurting too much. It was like a link to home. She got to the diner first. She was sitting in a booth waiting for me. Connie, she said, standing up and opening her arms. She looked like she'd lost weight. Hey, Lore, I said, hugging her back. She felt gaunt in my arms, but she smelled the same. Laurel always had a clean, cinnamony smell. I sat down across from her. After we ordered pancakes and bacon for both of us, she said, So, how have you been? I've been all right, I said, chugging down some juice. How was I even supposed to broach this subject? This wasn't my style. It didn't come naturally to me, the way it would for Jer. I was butting in on something that wasn't my business, but I had to do it. For her. I cleared my throat and said, I called you because I wanted to talk about the wedding. Her face got tight, but she didn't interrupt. Lore, I think you should go. I think you should be part of it. You're a mom. Laurel stirred her coffee, and then she looked at me and said, You think they should get married? I didn't say that. Then what do you think? I think they love each other, and they're going to do it regardless of what anyone else thinks. And I think that Belly really needs her mom right now. Dryly, she said, Isabel seems to be doing just fine without me. She never even called to let me know where she was. I had to hear it from Adam, who, by the way, is apparently paying for this wedding now. Classic Adam. And now Stephen's best man, and Belly's dad is going to give in the way he always does. It seems I'm the only holdout.
belly isn't fine. She's barely eating, and I heard her crying last night. She was saying how Taylor's mom is throwing her a wedding shower, but it won't feel right without you there. Laurel's face softened, just a little. Lucinda's throwing her a shower? Then, stirring her coffee again, she said, Jer hasn't thought this through. He isn't taking it seriously enough. You're right. He's not a serious guy. But believe me, he's serious about her. I took a deep breath before I said, Laurel, if you don't go, you'll regret it. She looked at me directly. Are we speaking honestly with each other here? Don't we always? Laurel nodded, taking a sip of coffee. Yes, that we do. So tell me, what's your interest in all of this? I knew this was coming. This was Laurel, after all. She didn't mess around. I want her to be happy. Ah, she said. Just her? Jeremiah, too. And that's it. She looked at me, steadily. I just looked back at her. I tried to pay for breakfast, since I was the one who invited her out, but Laurel wouldn't let me. Not gonna happen, she said. On the drive back, I played back our conversation. The knowing look on Laurel's face when she asked me what my interest in this was. What was I doing? Picking up vases with Belly. Trying to play peacemaker with the parents. Suddenly, I was their wedding planner, and I didn't even agree with them. I needed to disengage from the situation. I was washing my hands of the whole mess.
Chapter 38. Where have you been? I asked Conrad when he came back in the door. He'd been gone all morning. He didn't answer me right away. In fact, he was barely looking at me. And then he said, shortly,
just running errands.
I gave him a weird look, but he didn't offer up any more information. So I just asked, want to keep me company while I go to the florist in Dyerstown? I have to pick out flowers for the wedding.
Isn't Jer coming today? Can't you go with him?
He sounded annoyed. I was surprised and a little hurt. I thought we'd been getting along really well these past few weeks. He's not going to be here until tonight, I said. Playfully, I added, anyway, you're the one who's the flower arranging expert, not Jer, remember? Conrad stood at the sink with his back to me. He turned on the water, filling a glass.
I don't want to piss him off.
I thought I heard a trace of hurt in his voice. Hurt. And something else. Fear. What's wrong? Did something happen this morning? I felt worried all of a sudden. When Conrad didn't answer me, I went up behind him and started to put my hand on his shoulder. But then he turned around and my hand fell back to my side.
Nothing happened,
he said.
Let's go. I'll drive.
He was pretty quiet at the florist's. Taylor and I had decided on calla lilies, but when I looked through the book of flower arrangements, I ended up picking peonies instead. When I showed them to Conrad, he said,
those were my mom's favorite.
I remember, I said. I ordered 5 arrangements, 1 for each table, just like Denise Coletti told me to. What about bouquets? The florist asked me. Can those be peonies too? I asked. Sure, we can do that. I'll put together something nice for you. To Conrad, she said, are you and your groomsmen doing boutonnieres? He turned red.
I'm not the groom,
he said. He's the brother of the groom, I said, handing her Mr. Fisher's credit card. We left pretty soon after. On the way back home, we passed a fruit stand on the side of the road. I wanted to stop, but I didn't say so. I guessed Conrad could tell because he asked,
want to go back?
Nah, that's okay. We already passed it, I said. He made a U-turn on the one-way street. The fruit stand was a couple of wooden crates of peaches and a sign that said to leave the money in the container. I put in a dollar because I didn't have change. Aren't you going to have one? I asked him, wiping off my peach on my shirt.
Nah, I'm allergic to peaches.
Since when? I demanded. I've definitely seen you eat a peach before, or a peach pie, at least. He shrugged.
Since always. I've eaten them before, but they make the inside of my mouth itch.
Before I bit into my peach, I closed my eyes and inhaled the fragrance. Your loss. I had never had a peach like that before. So perfectly ripe. Your fingers sank into the fruit a little just touching it. I gobbled it up, peach juice running down my chin, pulp dripping all over my hands. It was sweet and tart. A full body experience, smell and taste and sight. This is a perfect peach, I said. I almost don't want to have another one, because there's no way it can be as good.
Let's test it out,
Conrad said, and he went and bought me another peach. I ate that one in 4 bites.
Was it as good?
He asked me. Yeah, it was. Conrad reached out and wiped my chin with his shirt. It was maybe the most intimate thing anyone had ever done to me. I felt lightheaded, unsteady on my feet. It was all in the way he looked at me, just those few seconds. Then he dropped his eyes, like the sun was too bright behind me. I sidestepped away from him and said, I'm gonna buy some more, for Jer.
Good idea,
he said, backing away.
I'll go wait for you in the car.
I was shaking as I piled peaches into a plastic bag. Just one look. One touch from him, and I was shaking. It was madness. I was marrying his brother. Back in the car, I didn't speak. I couldn't have, even if I wanted to. I didn't have the words. In the quiet of the air-conditioned car, the silence between us felt blaringly loud. So I rolled down my window and fixed my eyes on all the moving objects on my side. At home, Jeremiah's car was parked in the driveway. Conrad disappeared as soon as we got into the house. I found Jer napping on the couch, his sunglasses still on his head. I kissed him awake. His eyes fluttered open.
Hey.
Hey. Want a peach? I asked, swinging my plastic bag like a pendulum. I felt jittery all of a sudden. Jer hugged me and said,
You're a peach.
Did you know Conrad's allergic to peaches?
Of course. Remember that time he had peach ice cream and his mouth swelled up?
I broke away and went to wash the peaches. I told myself, there's nothing to feel guilty about. Nothing happened. You didn't do anything. I was rinsing peaches in the red plastic colander, shaking excess water off the way I'd seen Susanna do so many times. While the water was running over the peaches, Jeremiah came up behind me and grabbed one, saying,
I think they're clean now.
He lifted himself onto the kitchen counter and bit into the peach. Good, right? I asked him. I held one up to my face and inhaled deeply, trying to clear my mind of all the crazy thoughts. Jeremiah nodded. He'd already finished it and was lobbing the pit into the sink.
Really good. Did you get any strawberries? I could eat a whole box of strawberries right now.
No, just the peaches. I put the peaches in the silver fruit bowl, arranging them as nicely as I could. My hands were still shaking. Chapter 39. The apartment had wall-to-wall navy blue carpeting, and even though I had flip-flops on, I could just tell that it was moist. The kitchen was the size of an airplane bathroom, practically, and the bedroom had no windows. The place had high ceilings. That was the only nice thing about it, in my opinion. Jeremiah and I had spent the whole day looking at apartments near our school. So far, we'd seen 3. This place was the worst by far.
I like the carpet,
Jeremiah said appreciatively. It's nice to wake up in the morning and put your feet down on carpet.
I glanced toward the open door, where the landlord was waiting for us. He looked around my dad's age. He had a long white ponytail, a mustache, and a tattoo of a topless mermaid on his forearm. He caught me looking at the tattoo and grinned at me. I gave him a weak smile in return. Then I walked back into the bedroom and motioned for Jeremiah to follow me. It smells like cigarette smoke in here, I whispered. It's, like, absorbed in the carpet.
Febreze it, baby.
You Febreze it! By yourself. I'm not living here.
What's the problem? This place is practically on campus. It's so close. And there's outdoor space. We can grill. Think of all the parties we'll have. Come on, Belly.
Come on, nothing. Let's go back to the first place we looked at. That place had central air conditioning. Above us, I could feel, rather than hear, the bass from someone's stereo pumping. Jeremiah jammed his hands into his pockets.
That place was all old people and families. This place is for people our age, college kids like us.
I looked back at the landlord. He was looking at his cell phone, pretending not to listen to our conversation. Lowering my voice, I said, this place is basically a frat house. If I wanted to live in a frat house, I would bunk with you back at Fraternity Row. He rolled his eyes. Loudly, he said, I guess we're not taking the apartment. To the landlord, he shrugged, like, what are you gonna do? Like, they were in on it together, just a couple of guys. Partners. Thank you for showing us the apartment, I said.
No problemo,
the guy said, lighting a cigarette. As we stepped out of the apartment, I shot Jeremiah a dirty look. He mouthed, what? In a bewildered way. I just shook my head.
It's getting late, Jeremiah said in the car. Let's just pick a place. I want to get this over with already.
Okay, fine, I said, turning up the AC. Then I pick the first place.
Fine, he said.
Fine, I said back. We went back to the first apartment complex to fill out paperwork. We went straight to the management office. The building manager's name was Carolyn. She was tall and red-haired, and she wore a printed wrap dress. Her perfume smelled like Susanna's. I took this as a definite good omen.
So, your parents aren't renting the apartment for you? Carolyn asked. Most students have their parents sign the lease.
I opened my mouth to speak, but Jeremiah beat me to it.
Nope, we're doing this on our own, he said. We're engaged.
Surprise registered on her face, and I saw her glance ever so briefly at my stomach.
Oh, she said. Well, congratulations.
Thank you,
Jeremiah said. I said nothing. Inside, I was thinking how sick I was of everybody thinking I was pregnant just because we were getting married.
We'll need to do a credit check, and then I can process your application, Carolyn said. If everything checks out, the apartment is yours.
If you've been late on a few credit card bills, will that, negatively impact a person's credit?
Jeremiah asked, leaning forward. I could feel my eyes widen.
What are you talking about?
I whispered. Your dad pays your credit card.
Yeah, I know, but I started one freshman year, too. To build my credit, he added, giving Carolyn a winning smile.
I'm sure it'll be fine, she said, but her smile had faded. Isabel, how's your credit?
Good, I think. My dad put me down on his credit card, but I never use it, I said.
Okay, how about any department store cards, she asked.
I shook my head.
We definitely have first and last month's rent, Jeremiah put in, and we have a security deposit, too, so it's all good.
Great, Carolyn said, and she stood up from her chair. I'm going to process this today, and I'll let you guys know within the next couple of days.
I'll keep my fingers crossed, I said, trying to sound cheerful. Jeremiah and I walked out of the building into the parking lot. When we were standing outside the car, I said, I really hope we get that apartment.
If we don't, I'm sure we can get one of the other ones. I doubt Gary would even do a credit check on us.
Who's Gary? Jeremiah went around to the driver's side and unlocked the door.
That guy from the last apartment we saw.
I rolled my eyes. I'm sure Gary would still do a credit check.
Doubt it,
Jer said.
Gary was cool.
Gary probably has a meth lab in the basement, I said. And this time Jeremiah rolled his eyes. I continued, if we lived in that apartment, we would probably wake up in the middle of the night in an ice bath without our kidneys.
Belly, he rents apartments to lots of students. A guy from my soccer team lived there all last year, and he's fine. Still has both kidneys and everything.
We looked at each other from across the car, on opposite sides. Jer said, why are we still talking about this?
You got your way, remember?
He didn't finish the sentence the way I knew he wanted to. You got your way, like you always do. We don't know if I got my way or not. I didn't finish the sentence the way I wanted to. We don't know if I got my way or not because of your bad credit. I jerked the passenger door open and got in. I got the call later that week. We didn't get the apartment. I didn't know if it was because of Jer's bad credit or my lack of credit, but who really cared? The point was, we didn't get it. Chapter 40. It was the day of Taylor's bridal shower. I kept thinking of it as her shower because she and her mom were the ones who were throwing it. The invitations they sent out were nicer than my actual wedding invitations. There were already a bunch of cars parked in front of the house. I recognized Marcy Yu's silver Audi and Taylor's Aunt Mindy's blue Honda. Taylor's mailbox had white balloons strung on it. It reminded me of every birthday party Taylor had ever had. She always had hot pink balloons. Always. I was wearing a white sundress and sandals. I put on mascara and blush and pink lip gloss. When I'd left the cousin's house, Conrad said I looked nice. It was the first time we'd spoken since the day we stopped for peaches. He said, you look nice. And I said, thanks. Totally normal. I rang the doorbell, something I never did at Taylor's house. But since it was a party, I figured I should. Taylor answered the door. She was wearing a pink dress with light green fish swimming along the hem, and she'd done her hair halfway up. She looked like she should be the bride, not me. You look pretty, she said, hugging me. So do you, I said, stepping inside. Almost everybody's here, she said, leading me to the living room. I'm just gonna go pee first, I said. Hurry, you're the guest of honor. I used the bathroom quickly, and after I washed my hands, I tried to brush my hair with my fingers. I put a little more lip gloss on. For some reason, I felt nervous. Taylor had hung crepe paper wedding bells from the ceiling, and Going to the Chapel was playing on the stereo. There were our friends, Marcy and Blair and Katie, Taylor's Aunt Mindy, my next-door neighbor Mrs. Evans, Taylor's mom Lucinda. And sitting next to her, on the love seat, wearing a light blue suit, was my mother. My eyes filled when I saw her. We didn't run across the room to embrace. We didn't weep. I made my way around the room, hugging women and girls, and when I finally reached my mother, we hugged tightly and for a long time. We didn't have to say anything, because we both knew. At the buffet table, Taylor squeezed my hand. Happy? She whispered. So happy, I whispered back, picking up a plate. I felt such immense relief. Everything was really working out. I had my mom back. This was really happening. Good, Taylor said. How did this even happen? Did your mom talk to my mom? Mm-hmm, she said, and she blew me a little kiss. My mom said it wasn't even hard to convince her to come. Lucinda had set up the table with her famous white coconut cake as the centerpiece. There was sparkling lemonade, pigs in a blanket, baby carrots, and onion dip. All my favorite foods. My mom had brought her lemon squares. I filled my plate with food and sat next to the girls. Popping a pig in a blanket in my mouth, I said, "Thank you guys so much for coming." "I can't believe you're getting married," Marcy said, shaking her head in awe. "Me either," Blair said, Me either, I said.
Opening presents was the best part. It felt like my birthday. Cupcake tins from Marcy, drinking glasses from Blair, hand towels from Aunt Mindy, cookbooks from Lucinda, a glass pitcher from Taylor, a down comforter from my mother. Taylor sat next to me, writing down who gave what and collecting ribbons. She poked holes into a paper plate and wove the ribbons through. "What's that for?" I asked her.
"Your bouquet for the rehearsal, silly," Lucinda said, beaming at me.
She'd been tanning that morning. I could tell because you could see the marks her goggles had left. "Oh, we're not having a rehearsal dinner," I said. Because honestly, what was there to rehearse? We were getting married on the beach. It was going to be simple and uncomplicated, the way we both wanted it. Taylor handed the plate to me. "Then you have to wear it like a hat." Lucinda got up and tied the paper plate around my head like a bonnet. We all laughed as Marcy took my picture. Taylor stood up, holding her notebook. "Okay, so get ready for what Belly's going to say on her wedding night." I covered my face with my ribbon hat. I'd heard of this game before. The maid of honor writes down all the stuff the bride-to-be says while she's opening presents. "Oh, so pretty," Taylor exclaimed, and the room tittered. I tried to grab the notebook from her, but she held it above my head and read, "Jeremiah's gonna love this." After the toilet paper wedding dress competition, after we helped clean up and everyone had left, I walked my mother to her car. I felt shy as I said, "Thank you for coming, Mom. It means a lot to me." She brushed my hair out of my eyes. "You're my girl," she said simply. I threw my arms around her. "I love you so, so much." I called Jeremiah as soon as I got in my car. "We are so on," I screamed. Not that we ever weren't. Still, planning this wedding, being away from home, being in a fight with my mom, it had had me in knots. But with my mother by my side, I finally felt like I could breathe again. My worries were gone. I finally felt complete. I felt like I could do this. That night, I slept at home. Stephen and my mom and I watched Crime TV, one of those shows where they recreate crimes. We howled like wolves at the horrible acting, and we ate Fritos and the rest of my mother's lemon squares. It was so good. Chapter 41. Conrad.
The day Belly went home, I went to visit Ernie, the old owner of the seafood restaurant I used to bust tables at. Every kid who ever went to Cousins knew who Ernie was, just like Ernie knew every kid. He never forgot a face, no matter how old he got. Ernie had to have been at least 70 years old when I worked there in high school. His nephew John was running the place now, and he was a prick. At first, he demoted Ernie to bartending, but Ernie couldn't keep up, so John had him roll silverware. John ended up cutting him out of the business completely, forcing him into retirement. Sure, Ernie was old, but he was a hard worker, and everybody loved him. I used to take smoke breaks with him outside. I knew it was wrong to let him bum a cigarette, but he was an old guy, and who can really say no to an old guy? Ernie lived in a small house off the highway, and I tried to go out and see him once a week at least, to keep him company, but also to make sure he was still alive. Ernie didn't have anybody around to remind him to take his medicine, and his nephew John sure as hell wasn't coming by to visit. After John pushed him out of the business, Ernie said John wasn't his blood anymore. So I was pretty surprised when I pulled onto Ernie's street and saw John's car on its way out. I parked in front of the house and knocked once before I let myself in.
"Did you bring me a cigarette?"
Ernie asked me from the couch. It was the same thing every time. He wasn't even allowed to smoke anymore. "No," I said. "I quit."
"Then get the hell out."
Then he laughed, the way he always did, and I sat on his couch. We watched old cop shows and ate peanuts in silence. During commercial breaks, that was when we'd talk.
Did you hear my brother's getting married next weekend? I asked.
He snorted. I'm not in the ground yet, boy. Course I heard. Everybody's heard. She's a sweet girl. Used to curtsy at me when she was little.
Grinning, I said, that's because we told her you used to be a prince in Italy, but then you became a mafioso. The godfather of cousins.
Damn straight.
The show came back on, and we watched in comfortable silence. Then, at the next break, Ernie said,
So are you gonna cry about it like a punk, or are you gonna do something?
I almost choked on my peanut. Coughing, I said, What are you talking about? He made another snorty sound.
Don't be cute with me. You love her, right? She's the one.
Ernie, I think you forgot to take your meds today, I said. Where's your pill box? He waved me off with one bony white hand, his attention back on the TV.
Simmer down. Show's back on.
I had to wait until the next commercial until I asked him casually, Do you really believe in that? That people are meant to be with one person. Shelling a nut, he said,
Sure I do. Elizabeth was my one. When she passed, I didn't figure a reason to look for another one. My girl was gone. Now I'm just biding my time. Get me a beer, will ya?
I stood up and went to his fridge. I came back with a beer and a fresh glass. Ernie had a thing about a fresh glass. What was John doing over here? I asked. I saw him on my way in.
He came to mow my lawn.
I thought that was my job, I said, pouring the beer into his glass.
You do a shit job of edging.
When did you guys even start speaking again? Ernie shrugged and popped a peanut into his mouth.
He's probably just sniffing around here, so I leave him my property when I kick it.
He drank his beer and leaned back into his easy chair.
Ah, he's a good kid. My sister's only son. He's family. Family's family. Never forget that, Conrad.
Ernie, two commercial breaks ago, you told me that if I didn't try and break up my brother's wedding, I was a punk. Picking at his teeth, Ernie said,
If a girl's the one, all bets are off. Family or no family.
I felt lighter when I left Ernie's house a couple of hours later. I always did.
Chapter 42. It was Wednesday, just a few days before the wedding. Tomorrow, Taylor and Annika were coming up to cousins, and so were Josh, Redbird, and my brother. The boys were going to have their so-called bachelor night, and Taylor and Annika and I were just going to hang by the pool. Between Denise Coletti and Taylor, the wedding was pretty much ready to go. The food had been ordered. Lobster rolls and shrimp cocktail. We had Christmas lights for the deck and yard. Conrad was going to play a song on the guitar when I walked out with my dad. I was going to wear the jewelry Susanna had left me. I was going to do my own hair and makeup. Everything was coming together, but I still couldn't shake the feeling that there was something I'd forgotten. I was vacuuming the living room when Conrad pushed open the sliding door. He'd been surfing all morning. I turned off the vacuum cleaner. What's wrong? I asked him. He looked pale, and his hair was dripping in his eyes.
Wipe out, he said. I got cut by my fin.
Bad?
Nah, not too bad.
I watched him limp over to the bathroom, and I ran over. He was sitting on the sill of the tub, and blood was soaking through his towel and running down his leg. I felt woozy for a split second.
It's already stopped bleeding, Conrad said,
and his face was as white as the marble counter. He looked like he was going to pass out.
Looks worse than it is.
Keep putting pressure on it, I said. I'm gonna get some stuff to clean it. It must have really hurt, because he obeyed me. When I came back with hydrogen peroxide and gauze and Bactine, he was still sitting there in the same position, his leg in the tub. I sat down next to him and straddled the sill, facing him. Let go, I told him.
I'm fine, he said. I'll do it.
No, you're not fine, I said. Then he let go of the towel, and I pressed down on it. He winced. Sorry, I said. I held it for a few minutes, and then I peeled the bloody towel away from his leg. The cut was a few inches long and skinny. It wasn't bleeding as heavily, so I went ahead and started to pour hydrogen peroxide on the wound. "Ow!" he yelped. "Don't be such a baby, it's barely a scratch," I lied. I was wondering if he was going to need stitches. Conrad leaned in closer to me, his head just barely resting on my shoulder as I cleaned. I could feel him breathing in and out, could feel each sharp intake of breath every time I touched the cut. When the cut was clean, it looked a lot better. I dabbed Bactine on it and then wrapped his calf in gauze. Then I patted his knee. "See? All better." He lifted his head up and said, "Thank you." "Sure," I said. There was this moment between us then, of us just looking at each other, holding each other's gaze. My breath quickened. If I leaned forward just a little, we would be kissing. I knew I should move away, but I couldn't.
"Belly."
I could feel his breath on my neck. "Yeah?"
"Will you help me stand up? I'm going to go upstairs and take a nap."
"You've lost a lot of blood," I said, and my voice vibrated off the bathroom tiles. "I don't think you're supposed to sleep." He smiled weakly.
"That's with concussions."
I scrambled up and then pulled him up next to me. "Can you walk?" I asked.
"I'll manage,"
he said, limping away from me, his hand on the wall. My t-shirt was damp from his head on my shoulder. Mechanically, I started cleaning up the mess, and my heart was pounding out of my chest. What just happened? What did I almost do? This time wasn't like with the peaches. This time, it was all me. Conrad slept right through dinner time, and I wondered if I should bring him some food but decided against it. Instead, I heated up one of the frozen pizzas I'd bought, and then I spent the rest of the night cleaning the downstairs. I was relieved that everybody would be here tomorrow. It wouldn't be just me and him anymore. Once Jeremiah was here, everything would go back to normal. Chapter 43. Everything did go back to normal. I was normal. Conrad was normal. It was like nothing happened. Because nothing did happen. If he didn't have a bandage on his leg, I'd have thought I dreamed the whole thing. The boys were all down by the beach, except for Conrad, who couldn't get water on his leg. He was in the kitchen, getting meat ready for the grill. Us girls were lying by the pool, passing a bag of kettle corn back and forth. Weather-wise, it was a perfect cousin's day. The sun was high and hot, and there were only a few clouds. No rain in the forecast for the next 7 days. Our wedding was safe. "Redbird's kind of cute, no?" Taylor said, adjusting her bikini top. "Gross," Annika said. "Anybody with a nickname like Redbird, no thank you." Taylor frowned at her. "Don't be so judgmental. Belly, what do you think?" "He's a nice guy. Jeremiah says he's very loyal." "See?" Taylor crowed, poking Annika with her toe. Annika gave me a look, and I smiled a sneaky smile and said, "He's very, very loyal. So what if he's, like, a smidge Cro-Magnon?" Taylor threw a handful of popcorn at me, and, giggling, I tried to catch some with my mouth. "Are we going out with the boys tonight?" Annika asked. "No, they're doing their own thing. They're going to some bar with half-off Irish car bombs or something." "Ew," Taylor said. Glancing back toward the kitchen, Annika said in a low voice, "You guys never told me how hot Conrad is." "He's not that hot," Taylor said. "He just thinks he is." "No, he doesn't," I defended. To Annika, I said, "Tay's just mad because he never went for her." "Why would he go for her when he was your man?" I shushed her. "He was never my man," I whispered. "He was always your man," Taylor said, spritzing herself with more suntan oil. Firmly, I said, "Not anymore." For dinner, we had steaks and grilled vegetables. It was a grown-up kind of meal.
drinking red wine, sitting around a table with all my friends,